Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Our temperatures are warm for today. We'll see those highs in the 60s again. Coming up, we're going to time out our showers that will move through this afternoon.
And get ready for a busy day on the roads. We are tracking traffic conditions across our area as another holiday travel day gets underway.
And the shopping rush isn't over yet. What you need to know about unused gift cards and how retailers did last year compared to this year. We'll go through all those numbers for you. We're glad you're here with us on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Keely Arthur. Thanks for joining us. We are on top of all things weather and traffic related as another busy day of travel is upon us. Meteorologist Peter Sherwood is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. We have Eric Miller tracking traffic for us in the live center.
Let's start with that forecast right now. Peter, we should be expecting some showers here and there all afternoon, right?
Yeah, those showers are moving through already for this 12 o'clock hour. We see most of the rain in our southern counties. They are isolated out there and they are bringing some light rain. They'll continue to move towards the north and east as we head throughout the rest of the day. You can see here those showers are moving through Moore County, Southern Pines. We have some very light rain along I-95. If you're traveling in and out of Fayetteville, keep that in mind. Where we do see the bulk of the rain for this hour, it's off into the Triad, where those folks out there will get the best chance of rain from this system today. So you can see here that the cold front is still across our region, bringing a lot of rain across the foothills. This front will eventually fizzle out as it moves towards the east, and our rain chances will continue into the afternoon and early this evening. You can see here that most of that rain will set up across our north and western counties for Orange, Person County, and you can see that going into Granville County as well as we head into tonight. Now, tomorrow morning, we're going to watch areas to the south because we have an area of low pressure that will develop and bring a better chance of rain. Once you head out the door around 6 o'clock on Wednesday, we will see this move towards the east and drier conditions will filter in as we head into Wednesday afternoon. We're taking a live look at Raleigh right now with all the clouds. This is a live look at the legislative building in downtown Raleigh, 61 degrees right now. And because we have a lot of cloud cover around, our temperatures are really going to struggle to make it to 63. That's our forecast high for today. Then later on this evening, we're down into the lower 60s with those temperatures in the 50s once we head into tonight. I'm tracking how much rainfall this system will bring. Coming up, I'm going to show you how much we can expect over the next 2 days.
Peter, thanks. Could be a rough commute tomorrow morning, looks like. Thank you.
Now let's send it over to Eric Miller in the WRAL Live Center. Eric, how are things looking on the road at this hour?
Oh, Kaylee, we're tracking travel through both the roads and the air. The roads are actually looking good. You see the map here, the sensors all green all the way across the board. Things flowing nice and smooth out there on I-40 at Carytown Boulevard here. You see, we're not too busy yet, though that's likely to change as we get later in the afternoon. Different story, though, when we look at those flights. The misery map from FlightAware showing 629 delays nationwide. Those spread at this point from New York City all the way down across to Denver. That particularly, you see 71 delays there. 54 delays coming out of New York City and Atlanta. Oh boy, 96 delays. So something you're really going to want to keep your eyes on if you were headed out today, if you're flying. The roads, though, again, those are looking good.
All right, Eric, thank you. Well, here's a live look at RDU Airport. It is one of many airports across the country, if not all, that will be very busy this week as people return home from their holiday travels. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey explains what people need to know if they're traveling today.
There's hardly any people in the TSA line here behind me, but check out this video from earlier today, probably at about 5 o'clock this morning. That TSA line was really long. RDU projected that Christmas Eve would be the busiest travel day this holiday season. They estimated that 54,000 people would travel through the airport on that day alone. And here's a word of advice for the folks who are headed out on a flight later today.
Leave ahead of time at least 2 hours from your estimated destination time just to avoid the heavy traffic.
And if you're driving back home today, a lot of people will be out on the road. AAA estimates there are 2.5 million more drivers this holiday season compared to last. They say that the busiest times on the roadways today will be between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock. So now is the time to get on the road. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News at RDU.
Gift cards are popular this time of year, Christmas time, right? According to the National Retail Federation, Americans were expected to spend nearly $30 billion on gift cards this year. WRL Shelley Jackson joins us live from the Village District right now. Shelley, I think this will blow people's minds how much of these gift cards go unused.
Well, Jeff, have you checked your wallet and looked for some unused gift cards? Because it's about $23 billion, billion with a B, that goes unused. That's about $187 per person. Now, one of the most common, most popular gift cards to give is a restaurant gift card. And Patronix, which tracks these restaurant gift cards, says most of those cards, 70%, are used in 6 months. People like to eat. Federal law stipulates that cards can expire 5 years from when it was purchased or when money was last added to it, but some state has cards like that last even longer, like New York, where the expiration date there is 9 years.
Do you have any gift cards that you haven't used?
Oh yeah, tons. It's like I'm waiting for that special moment, and it never comes. I'm like, oh, I don't want to use it now.
Now, Tracy estimates she has about $100 in unused, unspent gift cards. And if you have any of these cards, you may want to check them because even though they last, they can start racking up unused inactivity fees, and therefore you lose some of that money that you think you've got. Jeff?
Yeah, that's a tough way to go when you don't use them and you get charged some of those fees and things like that. Shelley Jackson reporting live in Raleigh. Thank you.
Well, a family is mourning after two people died in a crash Christmas morning in Fayetteville. It happened just before 11 a.m. on Hope Mills Road in Glensford Drive. Police identified the victims as 47-year-old Jada Fields and 46-year-old Patricia Fields. Investigators say the driver of another car ran a red light and hit their car. No word yet on if that driver will be charged. And an Elon University women's basketball player is in the ICU after she got into a serious crash. The school posted the news on their Facebook page. They say Ava LaRoe was in a bad car accident last Friday. They say she's in the ICU making progress. LaRoe is a freshman at Elon. The school did not say where the crash happened or what may have led up to it.
Thousands of migrants continue to trek toward the U.S. southern border. This is new video of that group of nearly 6,000 people making the trek from several different countries. This is the largest group to set out since June of last year. Mexico says it detected 680,000 migrants moving through the country in the first 11 months of 2023. Just like last year's caravan, this one comes a few days before U.S. officials are to meet with their Mexico counterparts in Mexico City to explore ways to stem the surge of migrants. The Mexican government has already said it is willing to help try to block immigrants from crossing Mexico.
President Biden ordered multiple airstrikes overnight against Iran-backed militia groups in Iraq. It's in response to attacks on American troops in that country. David Spund is in Washington with the very latest.
Several U.S. service members were injured in a Christmas Day drone attack, one of them critically. This is the latest attack on U.S. personnel in the Middle East since the start of the Israel-Hamas war. President Biden leaving the White House to spend Christmas at Camp David, but his Christmas turned into a working holiday. The Pentagon says on Christmas Day, the Iranian-backed militia group Kataib Hezbollah launched a drone attack against coalition forces in northern Iraq, wounding three U.S. troops, one critically. The president, in response, ordered airstrikes against the group and others affiliated with Iran. In a statement, the White House said the president places no higher priority than the protection of American personnel serving in harm's way. The United States will act at a time and in a manner of our choosing should these attacks continue. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin echoed that sentiment and added, "While we do not seek to escalate conflict in the region, we are committed and fully prepared to take further necessary measures to protect our people and our facilities." This adds to the growing list of more than 100 attacks on U.S. forces since October 17th, just days after Hamas attacked Israel. The White House has criticized Iran for its support of Hamas and Yemen's Houthi rebels, the group responsible for attacks on ships in the Red Sea. Some lawmakers, though, think a stronger message from the United States needs to be sent.
What we've seen is put two aircraft carrier strike groups into the region. That's a massive show of military force. But we've been highly inconsistent in terms of the way we deal with Iran from an economic standpoint and from a diplomatic standpoint.
That was David Spunt reporting. U.S. Central Command says the airstrikes destroyed several facilities used by the group and likely killed a number of the militants.
The Hamas-controlled Palestinian Health Ministry says the death toll in Gaza is growing after a deadly 24 hours that included Christmas Day attacks. The Palestinian Health Ministry says at least 250 people were killed from Christmas Eve into Christmas Day. It says another 500 were injured in central Gaza. Israel's military says it's reviewing reports of a Sunday strike at a refugee camp. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with Israeli troops in Gaza on Monday. He vows a long fight is ahead. As pressure increases to call for a ceasefire, NBC's Josh Lederman will have a report from southern Israel ahead for us at 12:30.
Ukrainian forces damaged a Russian naval ship in an airstrike at a base in Crimea. Russian officials say one person was killed when the landing ship was hit by plane-launched guided missiles. They also say two Ukrainian fighter jets were destroyed during the attack. Ukraine says their recent attacks in the area are restoring navigation in the Black Sea and allowing them to export grain.
Final trading week of the year. We get our first look here on this Tuesday. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is in positive territory once again, and stocks headed for an end of the year rally, and sticking around in this fashion would have them end record fashion right there. You see up 111 points right now. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa, the beginning of a 7-day celebration. Just ahead, we will show you where you can celebrate the holiday around the triangle.
But first, a concerning preview of what could be ahead in the 2024 election season. And we're not talking about the candidates. We're talking about artificial intelligence, how experts believe it will play a role in democracies all over the world.
And at 12:30, prices are up, but is spending down? How retailers fared this holiday season compared to last year.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Well, 13 the time right now, and the newest Apple Watch is already off the shelves in the U.S., and they're not coming back anytime soon. Earlier this month, U.S. International Trade Commission ruled Apple violated patents registered to another company. President Biden had until today to intervene and turn that decision over, but he did not. That means Apple cannot sell the watches in stores and can't import the watches into the U.S. They could make a few software tweaks to meet compliance. The cheaper Apple Watch SE is not affected by the ruling.
Well, the 2024 elections in the U.S. are among many big races happening worldwide. More than 2 billion people are eligible to vote in elections next year, and experts believe artificial intelligence could play a big role in all of them. CNN's Simon Cullen found out how technology could spread misinformation.
While the U.S. presidential election might be the highest profile, it's not the only consequential contest taking place.
This is a hugely significant year for democracy. It depends how you count it or exactly what you classify as an election, but by some measures, there are at least 40 national elections happening in 2024.
In absolute numbers, that's more than 2 billion people eligible to cast a ballot.
For many countries, the health of their democracy itself will be being put to the test.
And the results have the potential to reshape international affairs on a scale rarely seen, from international trade and climate change to the wars in Ukraine and Gaza.
While the results of some elections are all but guaranteed, others will be a genuine contest, meaning a relatively small shift in voter support could affect the outcome. That amplifies the potential impact of disinformation. And experts warn that risk is made even more significant by the fact that these elections are coinciding with a boom in artificial intelligence.
That brings with it the prospect of deepfake content like this.
This is an AI-generated video showing just how far technology has come in recent years.
Even Vladimir Putin, who is all but certain to be re-elected Russian president in March, appeared momentarily surprised when confronted by a computer-generated version of himself.
People should be scared because the technology is enabling the creation of fake videos that could be very persuasive with the ordinary voters. People are not going to be able to distinguish the fake videos from real ones.
Are governments ready for what's coming down the line?
Governments are not ready. There are literally no guardrails in place.
That puts more of an onus on technology companies to step in. Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram, says it's adapting its approach to deal with the challenges posed by artificial intelligence. TikTok has announced partnerships with external fact-checkers to combat misinformation. A record year for elections could also prove to be an unprecedented challenge to the electoral process. Simon Cullen, CNN, London.
Look at this live look right now at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. You see the clouds there, but a couple of people out there stealing some days against the end of the year golf season. And Peter Shearwood over in the WRN Severe Weather Center. We see on this radar some of that precipitation that is out there. Is any of it hitting the ground, though?
Yeah, there are some areas where we are seeing this reach the ground, but it is not a lot. We have some of those showers out there across our southern counties. We see it from Lee County into Moore County, Cumberland County, and Sampson County at this hour, and they are lifting towards the north and east. So if you are in this area and perhaps you are heading out the door maybe to go to a mall and exchange one of your gifts or get the right size sweater, we are going to see those very light showers for this lunch hour. We will get rain to move in across the triangle and for our northern counties once we head into the second half of the afternoon leading into the evening. Take a look at this system that's moving across the Midwest, still bringing snow across Nebraska. We really have to feel for those folks out there getting up to a foot of snow. And the trailing cold front associated with that system will bring the rain across the North Carolina mountains. The foothills and some of those showers will stream into our region. What will happen is that this front is going to move towards the east and then fizzle as it does so. We will get those showers to pick up as we head into the 5 o'clock hour for our north and western counties, likely to see some moderate rainfall mainly towards the west. And then once we head into the overnight hours, this area of low pressure developing to the south will bring the rain early in the morning on Wednesday. The showers will gradually clear out and drier conditions will filter in as we head into the afternoon on Wednesday as well. Let's go ahead and take a look at your travel forecast, because if you are traveling out there Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I think you should be fine. Our rain chances will continue to remain on the limited side as we head into the end of the week. About an inch of rainfall possible for our viewing area. Those totals will be higher across the mountains where there are still flood watches. In effect, 2 to 3 inches of rainfall will be possible there. Another live shot of downtown Raleigh, where we have all the clouds this morning, or into the afternoon, I should say. 61 for our current temperature, and we will warm up just a little bit more for this afternoon. 63 will be our afternoon high. Because we have the clouds out there, that is going to limit a lot of warming that we could see for today. Temperatures falling off into the 50s for tonight. And once we head into the afternoon across the entire state, we are going to see those numbers warm for this time of the year. 68 in Moorhead, 64 degrees in Fayetteville, 61 for Charlotte. These temperatures are well above normal for this time of the year. But a turnaround is on the way. Winter-like temperatures are going to filter in by Friday. Highs will be in the 50s. Look at those morning temperatures down into the 20s and 30s as we kick off the start of the new year.
I'm not looking forward to that. Thank you, PETA. Well, let's take a look at what we are following for our evening newscast. First at 4, buying the perfect holiday gift for everyone can be stressful, but returning the unwanted ones is even more stressful. 5 on Your Side shares how to make stressless and successful holiday gift returns this season. Important story.
Then at 6, there's a warning for parents. So want to hear about this, how a battery in one of the devices could hurt a child if you are not careful with it. What you need to watch out for, that's tonight. Also, today marks the start of the 7-day Kwanzaa celebration. And up next, a look at events around our area celebrating the holiday.
Then EV issues, a social media company in court, and which movies are topping the box office. Your Money Matters report is just ahead.
This live look at Fenton in Cary, getting good use out of the ice skating there. Beautiful, perfect day for it because the sun's not beating down on it and melting that ice. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa, a week-long non-religious celebration observing African-Americans' ancestral roots. The name Kwanzaa comes from a Swahili phrase meaning first fruits. Each day the celebration has its own principle. Today's is unity, tomorrow creativity, then collective responsibility, self-determination, faith, and purpose. For each day and each principle, there's a candle on the Kinara, similar to a menorah in Hanukkah. A candle is lit each night of the celebration. There are several Kwanzaa events around our area this week. There's a celebration this afternoon at the Hayti Heritage Center in Durham. That event is free. The center will accept donations. There'll be a candle lighting ceremony, arts and crafts, a panel discussion. The event runs from 1 to 6 p.m. There's a Kwanzaa event at the Cary Arts Center this Friday. It runs from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission there is free. It'll feature music and storytelling sessions, plus a performance highlighting the seven principles from a child's perspective. And then on Saturday, it's a Kwanzaa celebration in Raleigh. It's at the Fruit of the Labor World Cultural Center on Lake Ridge Drive. More food, music, storytelling, and dancing. That's Saturday afternoon from 2 to 6.
If you have a gift you need to exchange or return, double check your store return policies. Some have changed big time this year. Many retailers are trying to cut down on expenses and reduce return volume. Amazon is only receiving returns on purchases made on November or after November 1st. Target has an extended window for electronics if bought between October 1st and Christmas Eve. And Walmart has a January 31st deadline for items bought in October through December 31st. So really be sure to check. There's a new number one at the weekend box office, and GM is pausing sales of a brand new EV. Those are among today's business headlines with Aaron Reel.
General Motors has paused deliveries of its new electric Chevy Blazer because of a software issue. The automaker says some customers reported software quality issues with the EV. GM is working on a software update to resolve the problem, and owners will need to bring the vehicle into a dealer to have it fixed. The Blazer EV launched just a few weeks ago, and it's seen as a big part of GM's electric vehicle lineup. Elsewhere, a federal judge has ruled that Twitter violated employee contracts by failing to pay millions of dollars in bonuses. The ruling is tied to a lawsuit from a former executive at the company, now called X. The suit alleges that both before and after Elon Musk bought X, it promised to pay 50% of workers' target bonuses but never made the payments. Lawyers for X were looking to have the suit dismissed, but the judge denied the request, and that means X will now face a court battle over the issue. As for the box office, it was a disappointing debut for Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. The film took in $28 million in ticket sales. The forecasts were for anywhere from $32 to $42 million, but it was still enough for Aquaman to take the number one spot at the Christmas weekend box office. Wonka came in second with just under $18 million, and third place went to Migration, which rang in $12.3 million in ticket sales in its opening weekend. And those are your business headlines. I'm Erin Rayal at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Still ahead at 12:30, the numbers are in for the holiday shopping season, and we look into the factors that slowed spending a bit this year.
Plus, Gaza is seeing one of the deadliest stretches of the Israel-Hamas war so far. Why Israel's prime minister says he will not agree to a ceasefire. And here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. We'll be right back.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Welcome back. The Israeli military continues to battle Hamas militants in Gaza. And today, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to keep fighting until Hamas is destroyed. That's defying global calls for a ceasefire. NBC's Josh Lederman reports from southern Israel.
The Gaza Strip is reeling from one of the deadliest stretches of the war so far, with some 250 Palestinians killed in a 24-hour period, according to the Hamas-run Palestinian Health Ministry. And among them are at least 70 people who died in an airstrike on the Al-Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza. The Israelis, too, have been suffering a large number of casualties. At least 17 IDF troops were killed just since Friday, according to Israel's military. And the fighting has been ongoing. Just within the last few hours, we have been hearing the explosions here in southern Israel of additional rockets from Gaza being launched into Israel, intercepted by the Iron Dome system. And it comes as Prime Minister Netanyahu is really under a lot of pressure right now to change course in this war, not only from aid groups and foreign countries that are demanding an immediate ceasefire, but also from the families of those some 100 plus families of hostages who are believed to be still held in the Gaza Strip. Some of those relatives heckled the prime minister as he spoke in Israeli parliament last night. They shouted "Now!" and held up signs saying, "What if this was your daughter?" And the prime minister has been fairly defiant in the face of those calls for some type of shift. He paid a secret wartime visit to Gaza yesterday, met with troops there, where he said, for anyone calling for an end to this war, it's not going to happen. Israel must fight until the very end. And in one reminder of just the clear risk of this war spiraling across the region, Iran says that Israel killed a senior Revolutionary Guard official in Syria over the last 48 hours or so. Iran now threatening to retaliate against Israel. Josh Letterman, NBC News, Sderot, Israel.
Well, several people were arrested during a pro-Palestinian protest in Manhattan on Christmas Day. New York police say one officer suffered minor injuries in a clash with protesters. Organizers of the rally posted a call for action online as Christmas services in Bethlehem were called off because of the war.
This Christmas season, a family is working to rebuild after fire destroyed everything they owned and killed three of their pets. James Newton, his wife and two kids, were out to dinner with a family on December 12th when a neighbor called and told him his house in Macon was on fire. That's in Warren County. The growing family had just moved into that house in September. They lost two dogs and a cat in the fire, as well as all the presents they bought for Christmas. The family has been living in temporary housing since the fire.
It's been a bit depressing, to be honest with you. It's been rough, but we try to stay strong for the kids because we want to make sure that their spirits are still healthy and they're able to get into the Christmas spirit.
The Newton family is grateful for the community rallying around them, donating clothing and toys for their kids. Visit WRL.com to find out how to donate and help the Newton family during this difficult time.
A nonprofit is trying to save one of its biggest sources of revenue. Deja Vu Thrift Store already needs to relocate to make way for a new development. And the founder says they have to move even sooner than they thought because the store's AC went out. The owners are not willing to replace it, knowing the building will soon be gone. Now, the owner of the store says one of the hardest parts is the possibility of not being able to help those in need anymore.
There are domestic violence victims out there and people coming out of recovery who won't have this resource anymore. Some of them will be evicted, some will be homeless. We're just begging the community, if they want our services, to please contribute.
Now, they have a plan. She has her eyes set on a new place in Zebulun, but it'll require $150,000 in the bank. They're trying to get a loan. If they don't raise enough money, they say the store will likely close.
When it comes to allergies, a lot of folks think they're strictly seasonal. Pollen in the spring, ragweed in the fall. But allergies like these can be triggered year-round. Indoor allergens can cause symptoms as people spend more time inside when it gets colder outside. There are plenty of ways to cope. Dehumidifier is one. More frequent cleaning of rooms and pets, and having over-the-counter antihistamines on hand. Many things can trigger these allergies, and if you have a Christmas tree, real or artificial, that can be a trigger as well.
If it's a new tree, there might be some mold related to that. So when people bring that into their homes, that can be a problem. If you have an artificial tree, if it's been stored away, that too can have accumulation of mold and or dust mite allergies.
And if you tried anti-allergy medication and you're still having symptoms, it is time to go see the doctor.
The holiday season drove up U.S. retail sales for the end of the year, but at a slower pace than the same time last year. Today, MasterCard Spending Pulse reported retail sales jumped 3.1% from November 1st to December 24th. That's compared to the same time frame in 2022. The data came from in-store and online retail sales, and the report says spending increased in many areas, with restaurants seeing a nearly 8% jump and apparel increased 2.4%. Retailers had actually projected slower growth this holiday shopping season due to inflation, higher borrowing costs, and the resumption of student loan repayments. Well, Christmas Day looked very different in the town of Lahaina this year. This historic Hawaiian town still recovering from that devastating wildfire. Up next, how they are doing months after one of the worst disasters in the state's history.
And you might not have an electric vehicle or even want one, but you are paying for them nonetheless. Just ahead, why all of us will be footing the bill for going electric. We want to see what's happening in your neighborhood, so be sure it's safe to take pictures or video and then look for the report it link on WRL.com or on the WRL News app.
Welcome back. Christmas looked very different in Hawaii this year, nearly 5 months after wildfires caused one of the worst disasters in the state's history. The holiday has brought a new wave of tourism to Maui, though, but people on the west side of the island are still struggling after those devastating fires. Frustrated fire victims who need long-term housing rallied in the days before the holiday.
My family have had to move around 5 times. Live out of suitcases and not know when or where the next move will be.
Hawaii's governor has threatened to ban vacation rentals if more owners don't volunteer for a program that would pay them to house displaced fire victims.
A record number of parents are choosing to opt out of getting their children vaccinated. Data from the CDC shows during last school year, 3% of kindergartners had waivers to not get the required vaccines. That's an all-time high. Misinformation about vaccines and political beliefs from the COVID-19 pandemic are contributing to the rise in waivers. Health experts say vaccinations among children are needed to stop the spread of diseases like measles. They recommend doctors talk to parents and schools and enforce vaccinations in order to get the percentages up. This issue is something WRL's Lena Tillett recently covered in an on-the-record discussion.
Yeah, Dr. Wall, obviously as an infectious diseases specialist, what's the potential impact of all these children not being protected?
Yeah, no, it's extremely concerning. And I know we're talking, I mean, the fortunate thing is we're talking about moving from 95% to 93% of kindergartners being covered with vaccinations that are routinely recommended. But that's a big enough change that it could be a concern. And as we've talked about, trends are everything. And if it continues this way, we could have a lot of sick children who could grow up to be sick, you know, potentially sick teenagers and sick adults and infect other people.
You can watch the full version of this conversation with three of the state's top doctors on the record right now, WRL.com. Raleigh leaders are encouraging people to reduce holiday waste and ensure proper recycling. Try this scrunch test, they call it. If you can crumple up your wrapping paper into a ball and it stays together, it can be recycled. If it doesn't hold, you should put it in the trash.
All right, the Powerball jackpot is climbing even higher because no one matched all the numbers Christmas night. And that means tomorrow night's jackpot is now worth $685 million. The winning numbers would have been 5, 12, 20, 24, 29. The Powerball was 4. You can watch tomorrow night's drawing right here on WRL before our 11 p.m. news. Still ahead, some showers in our area and a whole bunch of snow in the Midwest. We'll explain just how much they expect to get by the end of today.
Plus, even if you don't buy an electric vehicle, you're still paying for them. Up next, how much people could spend for the subsidies and credits they may never see.
Welcome back. Tesla is recalling more than 120,000 of its cars because doors may unlock during a crash. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the defect affects some of the Model S and X vehicles, specifically the 2021 through 2023 models. Tesla says it first became aware of the issue during a routine crash test earlier this month. However, the company says it's not aware of any injuries as a result of this defect. Well, many people can't afford an electric car, but that doesn't mean they aren't paying for them already. Taxes and utility rates go toward infrastructure for these cars, things like charging networks and power lines. And a new report says over the next decade, Americans will pay almost $50,000 in subsidies and credits that most people will never, ever see. William Lajeunesse reports from Los Angeles.
Most drivers don't own an EV, but a new study shows Americans subsidize everyone that's built almost $50,000 over a decade.
Those costs are being borne by ratepayers and taxpayers, and people that buy internal combustion engines are heavily subsidizing the cost of an electric vehicle.
How? State and federal subsidies cost almost $9,000 per vehicle. Charging stations, power plants, transmission lines to handle the added capacity, $15,000. Add in EPA credits and incentives for zero-emission vehicles. So unlike those who own gas-powered cars, EV owners receive, in total, subsidies and benefits worth more than $48,000 over a decade.
If you buy a gasoline or diesel engine, part of the cost of that vehicle includes these credits to help lower the cost of an electric vehicle.
Subsidizing electric vehicles at a minimum allows us to reduce all the damage that we do on a daily basis through the tailpipe emissions.
Critics call the study misleading because it doesn't measure the benefits of grid upgrades nor the drawbacks of pollution on human health and the environment.
Our purchases of gasoline certainly do not reflect the costs that we are generating for society.
Well, the bottom line is electric vehicles are the future, but they will not be cheap whether you own one or not.
Some folks woke up in Nebraska to a white Christmas, blizzard conditions in some areas. The town of Cedar, one of them, between 5 and 11 inches of snow are expected to accumulate by the end of today. The highways there are a mess. There are several tractor trailers that have jackknifed off the roads there. Thankfully, no one has been injured so far. The slick conditions continue in that region today. There's no doubt about it. That same system is bringing some scattered showers to our area, a far cry from what they're getting. Meteorologist Peter Shearwood joins us now, right? Just way too warm for any snow here.
Yeah, you know what? You just have to look at the pictures from Nebraska if you want snow, because we're not going to see any of that here. Our temperatures are well above normal for this time of the year, and checking out our dual Doppler 5000, we've got showers around. Let's go ahead and talk about the spots that are seeing the rain at this hour. It's out there in Sampson County, Cumberland County, Harnett County, Lee County, as well as Moore County. Those very light showers are moving through, and they are tracking to the north and east. As we head throughout the rest of the afternoon, we're going to see those isolated showers around that are going to be fairly light. And with our computer models backing off on our rain chances for today, I still believe that we could see some of those showers, light to moderate and scattered out in nature across our north and western counties as we head into the late afternoon and this evening. Rain will lift into the north into Virginia, and then we're going to watch what happens overnight. We could see an area of low pressure develop to the south of us, and that low pressure system at the surface will bring a lot more moisture back in early in the morning on Wednesday, and showers will be possible as we head out the door Wednesday morning. This is going to gradually clear to the east, and drier conditions will filter in as we head into the afternoon. Those clouds, though, will stay put as we head throughout the day on Wednesday. Let's talk about those temperatures, because it certainly does not feel like December, right? As you step outside, we will make it to 63 degrees for this afternoon. We should typically be in the lower 50s, and that's not going to be the case today, tomorrow, and Thursday. We're looking at a high of 66 for Wednesday. But that cold air across the Midwest, that cold air the folks in Nebraska are dealing with, will soon filter in. We'll get a taste of winter with temperatures dropping into the lower 50s as we head into Friday. And looking ahead into the new year, we are looking at the New Year's Eve forecast, and temperatures are going to be chilly, likely to see those readings in the 30s once the clock strikes 12. As we take a live look right now at Sanford, you can see all the clouds out there for this morning. Temperatures are very mild. We're at 64 in Fayetteville, 61 in Raleigh and Durham, and 59 degrees for South Hill. Our temperatures are going to slowly make their way into 63 degrees for the Triangle. Because of all the clouds, we're not going to see a big variation with our temperatures today. Those clouds will keep us into the 50s even as we head into the overnight hours. As we check out what's happening across the nation, it's going to be along the East Coast here where we do see some of those showers for today, and areas like the Midwest in Nebraska and South Dakota, they are still dealing with the snow. Our temperatures are going to be warm today, tomorrow, and Thursday in the 60s. A small chance of rain on Friday. Temperatures are going to drop. We're in the 50s then. We'll be at 54 degrees on Sunday, and on Monday, 55 as we ring in the new year.
All right, thanks, PETA. A musical version of The Color Purple is now in theaters, and it features a North Carolina native. Why Fantasia almost actually turned down the role she first played on Broadway's. Just ahead.
We'll wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. And weather is a big story for today. PETA said rain is moving into our area later today. So snow is falling in the Midwest and the Plain States today. The National Weather Service is predicting blizzard conditions and potentially damaging ice for that area of the country. More than a foot of snow is already reported in Colorado.
Well, today is a big travel day as people make their way home from spending Christmas away. That winter storm out west has caused some issues for airlines. FlightAware is reporting more than 1,700 flight delays today. Things appear to be running smoothly at RDU. At last check, 20 delays were reported, and that's for the entire day so far.
Billions of dollars in gift cards goes unused every year. Bankrate says 47% of adults have an unspent gift card. About $23 billion in gift card goes unspent. That works out to be about $187 per person. Federal law stipulates cards can't expire for 5 years from the time of purchase or when money was last added to it. One thing to watch out for, some cards, if they're not used up, they can start racking up inactivity fees. So if you get a card, it is best to use it quickly. A new version of the classic story, The Color Purple, is now in theaters, and it features a North Carolina native. Fantasia Barrino stars in the musical reboot of the 1985 classic. The High Point native plays the role of Celie, and that is, she played that same character when The Color Purple made its run on Broadway, and she almost turned down the opportunity to play her in the movie.
She carries everybody. Mm-hmm. And at the time when I was doing Broadway, I was carrying everybody. Mm-hmm. And my life was so much like Celie's. I'm glad that I did it because I'm not that girl anymore.
That's right.
Well, she was strong. She held everybody together, and she went through a lot of things. But look at Celie now.
The movie also stars Corey Hawkins and is produced by Oprah Winfrey. The Color Purple is in theaters right now.
Finally, our pet of the day comes to us from Triangle Beagle Rescue. This is McCoy. Hi, McCoy. He came to the rescue from Greenville. Someone found him there as a stray. He already has a reputation at the rescue. McCoy is known for being the happiest dog in the park. He makes friends quickly, loves fetch. He'll do just about anything for a treat. You can learn more about adopting McCoy at trianglebeagles.org. Well, NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
We got a front seat driver for that one right there with McCoy. You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great Tuesday.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.